And there we go. Okay. Guys, we're live. This is going to be the Brothers Wiz podcast number 11. 11, actually. The last one we did, it was all of us together at long last at the Microtik Mum. This one is, Justin is actually live in Vegas right now. He's at Wispalooza 2012. And so this one's going to be all about Justin. Excellent. So again, I am Greg Soule. For all you people that don't know, I'm the bald one. Justin's going to wave. Wave, Justin. All right, there's Justin Wilson, your consummate tower guy, radio guy, wisp guy. And then you got JJ over here, which is the most brilliant radio guy you're ever going to meet. You know, I've forgotten more than I'll ever know about it. He's also our color commentary and our consummate deviator from the storyline.
I'll do my best.
So I don't know, Justin, kick us off, man. Tell us, when did you guys actually get in?
We got here Saturday. The flights were much cheaper if we came out on Saturday, so that gave us a couple extra days. We went to the Ubiquity conference on Monday, so I guess that's as good a place to start. I have lots of pictures, but they're on my actual real camera, and I don't have the appropriate cable to download them, so that's those cool. will be forthcoming.
Yeah, we'll link all that stuff and get it up.
But the Ubiquity conference was a little toned down, I think. They didn't really have, you know, many product announcements. I think and JJ can help me with the name because I've already forgotten it.
The Air Gateway.
The Air Gateway and the Nano Bridge. HP.
Yeah.
Those were the only major announcements that I took away from it. Everything else was, hey, we have the MFi stuff. We have the Edge OS coming. They did a demo of the Edge OS. The GUI appeared to be somewhat functional. most things, and they even said this, they said most things are not in the GUI yet. So they demoed setting it up a little, setting up some routes and things like that.
Did they have any? Who did the presentation on that?
Good question.
Was it one of the Edge OS guys?
Yes, it was one of the Edge OS guys. And they had a new guy up there too. He had been with the company maybe 4 months or so. And he did some.
Is that Josh, blonde haired guy?
Yeah, blonde haired. Looked like he's, and he'll probably get on me about this. He looked like he's about 12 or 14, maybe.
Yeah.
so I think he kind of takes that in stride a little, but you know he seemed to know his stuff, so I'll give him kudos for that. And the demo really wasn't that long. I'd say maybe a half hour at the most.
Were there any of the guys up there Roundhouse kicking representatives of other organizations?
there might have been some plants. There might have been some plants in the audience. They showed.
Hey, Justin, we lost your audio, buddy.
There we are.
There.
I was flailing my hands around. Right. They demoed the video we've all seen where the guys break in and replace one of the coolest things about the Edge OS though that they did do is they brought out an actual router that actually is in a package and is actually, they've invested the time and the effort into, you know, this is what could ship today. So they actually have a fully functional, you know, ready to go product.
How many ports are on it?
I think it was a 5-port or 3-port model. Maybe, okay. Maybe, yeah.
I bet it was the Edge Router Lite, the 3-port guy.
Yep, that was it.
Very nice.
You know, they spent a lot of time on the M5 stuff. I kind of lost interest after about 20 minutes in it or so. And I mean, it's cool, but it just, you know, to me, it's nothing I'm going to use right now.
Yeah. Right. I see using the power switches immediately, but other than that, I don't see a mass deployment of that type of thing.
Yeah.
You mean like that?
Just like that.
I have a little box around here somewhere. I don't know where my little... They gave out the tough switch, so I finally have a tough switch to play
That's
with.
That's cool.
Very cool. At least somebody can get them.
They demoed Air Fiber. Nothing new there, really.
Did they have a production unit set up?
Yes, they did. They were shooting it across the room that we were in. And they did a little demo of that, and they answered some questions about it, and I think they cleared up some maybe misconceptions that people had.
Right.
You know, they're now saying if you set them up in a bench, you want them to be 300 yards apart minimum.
Gotcha.
So, you know, people that are trying to, you know, shoot them across the room, they're not working right for them, and these guys are saying, hey, you can't turn the power down enough to, you know, make it work. They were talking about some foam that blocks RF is what they use in their lab.
Gotcha.
So, and I guess they're coming out with a new firmware version for them that fixes some bug stuff.
Gotcha. So, sorry, go ahead.
They said the product, they consider the product stable. So, you know, I don't know if you guys remember at Chicago, they said, once we get this product stable, we're going to move on. So I think they kind of hinted at, okay, maybe something else is coming.
Gotcha. That we're done with it.
What, was there some mention of Air Max 2?
There was, they kind of mentioned that they are going to, I think the what they alluded to was they are probably going to start making their own radios. They kept saying that the Atheros chipset has been a hindrance to them.
Interesting.
That's one reason GPS doesn't work right.
So they're going to get in the chip business then.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to see the software-based radios like the Air Fibers coming out.
You're talking about like the FPGA radios? Like they'll just scale that tech down a little bit?
Yeah, kind of the consensus everybody I heard from, they're like, well, the price may go up, but it's going to be a better radio.
Right.
So, and that, you know, that's just kind of hearsay, but that kind of seemed to be what everybody's thinking.
A lot of those Altera FPGAs are, I mean, they're getting down there, so.
Yeah, and I mean, they said there they've shipped 10 million Ubiquiti units now. So if they're getting up into that volume, they can probably really bring the price down.
I was going to say, it's all about volume, however much you can
move.
That's cool. So you said, because I was just looking at your updates on your blog, you said 5.5.4 is focused on performance, no new features.
Yep, they said they pretty much locked that down, and they just want to, you know, fix bugs and, you know, just make it perform well.
Interesting. I wonder if that means they're focusing their energy on a new product or something like that.
Could be. You know, if they want this real stable and, you know, just start working on the next generation, maybe. I think someone offered, are you guys going to do any radios that are, is it 802.11ac?
Uh-huh.
Are you guys going to do any of those radios? And he you know, he kind of sidestepped it a little and said, well, we're working on some things.
Gotcha. Isn't Broadcom one of the only companies that's making an AC chipset right now?
I don't know.
Who was it? The Buffalo stuff that came out with it first, or like TP-Link? I think it's. I mean, it's a Chinese manufacturer that's coming out with all that stuff, right? Like the first.
I know. Asus came out with one early, you know, early on.
So did you actually get a chance to look at that air gateway thing? Was it says mini Wi-Fi router that you stick on your PoE injector?
They didn't have any there. They just had a picture of it. And it looks like just your the PoE is redesigned, so it looks like a little bit bigger PoE, and it just snaps onto the attaches to the back of the PoE.
Hmm.
So your power injector now, instead of, yay long, is now elongated. And they're saying it's going to be $15.
Wow, that's really cheap.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty slick.
Yeah, and you should be able to get in and manage it from the provider side.
Okay.
So you then have a router that you can do tests to, from your side. I don't know if it's just, you have control over it if you choose so, or what the detail there is going to be. And they didn't say, gotcha. If it was going to be 2.4 or 5 gig, or I didn't hear any of that.
Gotcha. I'd say it'd probably just be like 2.24.
That's what I think.
That's cute. That's a cool idea.
I think that'll be a nice addition to their suite. The NanoBridge M5 HP to me is a great thing, because most of our stuff is 6, 7, 8 miles, and to see them finally up the power. I noticed that they don't call it high power anymore; they call it high performance. So that
high performance.
Yeah, I thought that was a little different. I guess they're trying to move away from regulatory problems.
I was gonna say they don't want the FCC looking too close at it.
Yeah, yeah. Then they'll have to say, "Oh, you have to buy the reflector separate."
Is that like you can buy the bong, but you can't buy the weed?
Yeah.
There you go.
Kind of like that.
Oh, man. So what else did you get to talk to any of the Ubiquiti guys, really?
I talked to Ben for a couple minutes. Nothing. I mean, it's like going to a rock star show with those guys. Everybody's kind of converging for their time and everything. So I got to talk to him for a couple minutes. Of course, we all gave Matt a hard time for not being there. The funniest thing about it is Robert's up there. He's talking, and I don't remember exactly what he's talking about, but he goes, well, Matt Hardy's not with us. And there was this just collective, tension in the air. And I think he said to the speaker that he caught it, and he's like, well, he's not here today. He's still with the company.
That's good stuff.
Classic.
So I thought that was quite the hilarious thing, because, I mean, the whole crowd, I don't know how many people were there, several hundreds of people, and that it was just this, deafening, almost cut the air with a knife.
So ridiculous.
Very cool.
I mean it was a nice solid conference. Nothing, oh, this is so cool, or I think they learned. Let's not be flashy. Let's focus on fixing stuff.
That's cool.
That's cool. Some mention of Unify 3 having fast roaming or a feature.
Yes, they did. They did go over fast roaming. Yes. Basically, it's kind of what I thought once I saw it. All the APs have to be on the same channel, same SSID. I think there's one other thing that they have to be in the same group or something like that.
Probably the same layer 2 segment, yeah. Right? Is what they're talking about.
Yep. That's cool. So, you know,
did they say it was like a standard based or just something proprietary that they came up with?
It seemed to be proprietary.
It sounds like they're going to have to do it with a software timer to me, like, because they're not going to have a reference to a, like a real-time clock. So,
yeah.
That's how I think you'd have to do it. You'd have to make your own proprietary timer and single mold to that timer.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It'd be interesting because I've done quite a bit of reading and playing around with, you know, 802.11r on the Ruckus stuff, and that just works. Like, it works good. So I hope that it works because there's so many places that I could use more Unify.
Yeah, and they were saying there, the biggest thing I liked about the Unify, the software was now you don't have to have a different instance for different, you know, locations.
So you have different walled gardens for different locations?
Yep, different walled gardens, totally separate, a totally separate thing.
So the payment portal that they have integrated into the Unify software, is it still PayPal only? Was that brought up at all?
Yep, that was my question.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, are you guys working on other payment gateways? And they say that it was the same answer in Chicago. We're working.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So I don't know. You know, I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah, I can't imagine because I just integrated Authorize.net with their API in less than a week, so it's not difficult. So
yeah, so they trying to think if there's anything, you know, really other special about Unify, the fast roaming and the you know, the software has been rewritten a little, I think. They spent a fair amount on AirVision, too. They're touting that AirVision, you know, the new version of AirVision is going to be a lot of rewrite.
Right. I'm assuming it'll run a lot cleaner, right?
Yeah.
Did they get beat up over that a little?
I think they did. Yeah, some people were talking about, hey, I can only get, you know, so many cameras on my instance, and you know the motion detection's not really working for me, and that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So they demoed, you know, some of the new motion algorithms, and you know talked about how they're going to offload some of that to the camera, and the cameras have, you know, good enough processor. And they announced a little DVR, prepackaged DVR. I think maybe $399 was the price, and it's going to be pre-configured. It looked like to me a little Netgear router standing up with a couple, you know, an Ethernet port on it.
Very cool.
500 gig hard drive. So
they're kind of going after that Synology market almost.
Yeah, and I think they were, you know, that was their answer to, we're going to ship you a pre-configured product that's just going to work out of the box.
Right. That's so much easier than trying to support a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the same thing MikroTik used to do. I mean, they used to do the x86, and they're like, you know what, supporting this crap is just getting out of hand. So they started making their own appliances.
Yep.
Plus, I would almost rather just buy an appliance and stick it in somebody's place than
Yeah, I would too.
Definitely. You can just grab something and go. Like today I was looking over the MikroTik product line and I was like, man, they need a router in between the, you know, like the 1100s and the 750Gs, you know, it, like, as far as CPU speed and, you know, port density is fine, but I guess
with the 1200, I guess is that in between?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
but I guess as far as, you know, CPU power, as soon as the GUI is much more functional and intact on Edge Router, it'll be a stellar product, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's for the Edge Router. That's really what I'm looking for, that GUI to get complete, so you can really put it through its paces.
And on the Edge Router, you know, a couple different people brought up, well, does it do hotspot? Does it do, this and that? And I think Ubiquiti's stance is we have a product that does Hotspot, Unify.
Right.
So we're not going to integrate it into EdgeOS.
Right. Because I think right now with EdgeOS, it's a router. And as long as they keep it really pure, I don't think they're going to have a lot of problems with bugs. You know, because you've seen how they're trying to integrate GPS and all that stuff in their radios. They keep hitting all these bugs.
Yeah,
and you have these problems. So I think if they just keep it pure as they can, and really just keep it as a router, they're not going to have to do that much maintenance to it. You know, it'll be something that'll be pretty hands-off for them, which I think right now, the way they're expanding their product lines, I think that's really important for them.
Yes.
To be able to make sure everything kind of works really well. Because like with the AirVision, for example, like the NVR side has been lacking for so long, you know, that
yes.
It's been kind of stumbling.
Yeah, I want to see them get it finished. I mean, I've had to use another vendor. I went with a Toshiba DVR and searched Earth High and Low trying to get the Ubiquiti cameras to work properly with it. And just because I didn't want to buy all Toshiba cameras because they're, about $300 a shot. And I want to see it work. I have a lot of faith in it. I think they'll get it.
I think so too.
Anything else cool?
I'm trying to think if there's anything really, really else neat at the Ubiquiti show, or that's the highlights I can think of. I mean, they were, they seemed upbeat about everything, and they didn't say much about the company themselves, except for the 10,000-foot level. I mean, it was a nice solid show.
Very nice. You said that Cambium has some new interesting things, right?
Yeah, they Cambium at the WISPA show, one of the luncheons. They are doing a set-top box. They're touting it as their version of the triple play. You buy this set-top box. It interfaces with Netflix, Hulu. You know, about they had like a dozen or so ones that it interfaces with.
How does that also help your? I mean, how did they outline how they were going to monetize that? That, I mean, it seems to me like a Roku does most of that, or an Xbox 360. What is the?
Their two claim to fame is one, an over the air antenna hooks to this thing, so you can pull in your digital local stations. But the other thing is you select your content, and it's supposed to download off peak. It can do streaming. It can do streaming. But you can say, hey, I want to watch, such and such shows. When you go to bed and it's off peak, it downloads it, and it's going to be waiting for you the next day.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know how I feel about that.
You know what else I heard about recently is, who was it? It's Boxy, I think. They announced that, their new Boxy, you're going to be able to do, and I want to say it's them, that they're going to do, unlimited DVR. So it's unlimited. You can record as much as you want, but it records out in the cloud.
Really? So,
yeah, as long as you're with them, you're cool. You can get your content, but as soon as you cut service with them, you can't.
I mean, in all reality, that you could just pull in the satellite feed one time from all the different channels and just accelerate all that data. So
yeah,
just have one.
In the same vein, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I have a friend that does the Roku, and he loves the thing, because it does the Netflix and it does Hulu, and then he just runs a Plex server because it's got a little Plex channel on the Roku, and so he can stream everything off his machine, any movies, any downloaded video, whatever that could be. Stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I think they're only like 70, 80 bucks, something like that. So it's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad. Cambium also, they're pushing their 450 line, and they're pushing toward, this is sectorized, of course, but they're pushing toward 1 gig per tower, 1 gig of capacity
right
to the tower.
Are they are they doing anything about their price? Or are they still going after that upper tier military contract kind of?
They say they are aggressively pricing. Now I heard, and this was from a Cambium operator. This wasn't from one of the vendors or anything like that. But I guess all of their newer subscriber modules are software upgradable. So you can buy a 10 meg subscriber module, and I think he said those are around $220. So if you want to upgrade it to a 15 or a 20 meg module, it's a software upgrade.
Gotcha. So,
of course, you got to pay for the software, but still, they're still a little pricey.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I still operate a network as far as the Canopy Advantage stuff goes.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, not the 450 line, but the other, you know, I think they're still pretty much in the Cambium. Like, I don't use enough of it to even be. I've just got a bunch of surplus, like 5.2 SMs and 900 meg SMs. So, I don't know. It seems like Ubiquiti is just kind of squeezing them to death. So
they're squeezing them a little, but they're fighting back. What I heard several times from the Cambium folks was, we have GPS sync that works. In order for you to continue to get your density out of the GPS, is the way to go.
Gotcha. And I'm sure that, you know, in the back of the mind, it was probably, that's probably, you know, a large wound for Ubiquiti. So they're probably, you know, going back to what we said at the beginning of this about Ubiquiti moving on or considering the air fiber line stable. Probably is alluding to the idea that maybe that team is about to move on to something a little different. Mm-hmm. So
talking about other manufacturers of stuff, did you get a chance to talk to the ARC Wireless guys? I think Ryan was going to be out there.
I stopped by ARC's booth and I got to talk to them, you know, just briefly.
Because these guys are starting to put out their own CPEs now and their own APs. Their own pre-packaged
devices. Yeah, and they had a couple of them. Yep, and they're doing their own little proprietary, TDM. I don't know if is it TDMA or what is it?
Yeah, they've got their own proprietary TDMA that they put together. And it's supposedly a nice little clean GUI. And really, from what I understand, they're taking on Ubiquiti head on is what they're chasing. So it's going to be kind of like a competitor with the Locos and Nanos is really kind of what they're taking on. They're going to have that kind of same price, and they're looking to have similar feature set. And I think the AP, they just announced that here at Wispopalooza. And so they've only got, I think, a handful of beta models to put out, but I'm pretty sure we are going to get a copy of some of the CPEs and the APs to demo.
So very, okay.
I think we'll have some in our hands here pretty quick. So we'll be some of the first beta testers.
Very good.
On those. So we'll be able to get kind of a background on it, what they look like.
Yeah, I talked to the Trango folks are pushing their 24 gig product, and they're saying they're doing 750 megs in a 60 megahertz channel.
Very nice.
So they're trying to squeeze the channel down and get more out of it.
Gotcha, because the air fiber runs a 100 meg channel, right?
Yep.
So. It's 24 gigahertz. I mean, there's not a lot of saturation in that frequency right now, is there?
No, not at the moment.
And then on top of that, it's going to, you know, dissipate so fast in the, you know, just on your free space. So, and the beam width on those antennas, although they're not gigantic, but at that frequency, the beam width is very tight. So, you know, you could probably I'd say you could probably co-locate them. I mean, I know they're GPS sync, but you could still co-locate them probably at, like, you know, I'm just talking off the top of my head, probably 20 degrees or so.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight.
So, you know, I'm just talking off the top of my head, you know, knowing how tight that beam would be at that frequency at maybe 30 degrees, but you would co-locate them probably very close. So.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just kind of running through it in my head. So.
I was trying to look up a couple other products that were out here, but my we're staying at the Imperial Palace, and my traffic has been quarantined for peer-to-peer traffic. I'm like, what? Okay, yeah, I'm not running any, you know, peer-to-peer anything.
Oh, it's that virus I put on your laptop.
I guess.
The FBI's coming to get you. You seen that one?
Yeah, they'll be crashing through the window soon. But the WISPA show was, you know, I've been to several WISPA shows, and I think I heard that there were over 700 people registered, and those 700, there was a good percentage that were brand new first timers to the show, and a lot of those were first time WISPs or were thinking about becoming a WISP. So it was pretty cool. We were sitting at breakfast one morning, and I'm up front, you know, with a bunch of the guys from Indiana and Mike Hammond and those guys, and I look around, and it's just this huge ballroom, and all the tables are full.
Oh, that's awesome, man!
Very nice.
So the, you know, the WISP industry is not, you know, it's not being beat down by any means.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I wish I was there.
I still stand by what I said on Facebook. So,
before I forget, I hear you're like a minor celebrity now. At the,
I think we're all celebrities. Actually, I was very, very humbled. You know, I did one session about network optimized design. Kind of I reworked my MUM presentation a little, but I worked it in. We had Gino from Aeronet, who's a, you know, big time ISP in Puerto Rico, and then we had a couple other guys on there. And after the session was done, I had just that session alone, I had probably four people come up. Hey man, we listened to the Brothers WISP. We really like what you guys do. You know, I just wanted to come up and shake your hand.
Hey,
and,
awesome.
You know, yeah, to me, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, I don't want to say I almost cried, but it was like, you know, that was so cool to me that, someone thought that.
And that is awesome.
And I told him, I'm like, you know, I'm going to tell the other guys because, you know, we do this because A, it's fun, but B, you know, it's the help to the community. I think people are seeing that. There's nobody out there kind of doing this, and that's the echo I got.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it made me feel good, you know, that people are coming up to us and saying you're helping us.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I remember starting out with the blog. When I started doing my blog, I said if I could help one person, it'd be worth it. And what it really turned into is I met JJ, I met you, I met Andrew. So all of my best friends are from, you know, just putting yourself out there, just trying to help people. And
yeah, I
think it comes back to you. It does.
I had two or three people come up to me, Greg, that said, hey, I read Greg's blog all the time. That's how I found, you know, you guys.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Speaking of, I'm always pimping you guys anyway. So, Justin, I think I have some work for you in the Bahamas actually coming up pretty soon. whether you're ready for it or not, I think it's coming.
Very nice.
But you got to bring your real steel toe boots, though.
None of the Nikes. Okay, good. Yeah, none of the Nikes. I didn't really, you know, I looked through a lot of the vendors. I'd say there's quite a number of vendors there. Hardware wise, there wasn't anything that was really awesome. The Packet Flux guys have some kind of neat products coming out. They make
I like their gadgets.
Have you seen any of their alignment tools yet?
No, the last stuff I seen when I was there last year was just all that Denrail stuff that he had that for you know the monitoring and everything. So yeah, he's a gadget guy definitely. So.
Yes, Forrest definitely is. He's coming out with two things. One of them is this Bluetooth alignment tool. I don't know exactly, you know, if it plugs into like the BNC or if it plugs into the, you know, on some of the higher end radios, you have to hook a voltmeter up. This will attach to your phone. And so you can, you know, have your phone in your pocket. Or you can look at the phone while you're adjusting the link, and it will help you align it.
That's cool.
The other thing he has is it is a replacement for plugging the multimeter in. It's a little LED that reads the voltage.
Gotcha. I have a little AP, you know, box that I connect into the PoE when we go out to peak a dish, or especially if I'm by myself. You know, if I go out to peak a dish. I'll just pull my cell phone out and log into that AP, you know, over the Wi-Fi and then bring up the interface of that radio. You know, even if I'm on the roof, I can, you know, do the thing. So,
okay.
So that's kind of been my technique. And then I've also, you know, I'm an avid log me in user, so I'll just, you know, go into my little, I call it my knockbox. It's just a VM running into data center that I do all the network management with. And I'll just remote into that, and then, you know, I don't have to mess with VPNs. And because all of our radios are on the RFC 1918 private space, so I don't have to jack around with a VPN or anything to get to the infrastructure. So
makes it quick and simple. So of the since we're talking about Wispapalooza, of the presentations, man, what kind of presentations did you see? That were cool.
Some of they focus on, I think the WISP industry in general is kind of maturing. So, you know, I saw more guys, this time than any time, you know, in, you know, at least some sort of suit coat. You know, they might have been wearing jeans and tennis shoes, but, you know, they were, you know, they weren't your normal, you know, geek fare. So, you know, there were, several, there was even one on, hiring employees. You know, so I think it's, you know, I think it's maturing a little. They had some, stuff on the upcoming white space. That was a big topic.
What's your take on that, Justin?
I think the only way white space will be a viable option is if we can get enough channels in an area to, you know, justify the bandwidth.
Right.
You know, I don't want to go out and spend $700 on a CPE and only be able to push, you know, a meg and a half to the customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same boat I'm in. And plus, in my region, our average height above surrounding terrain is off the charts for what mm-hmm. they allow. So, you know, I'm not going to deploy these expensive APs on every side of the mountain just to service some people. So, you know, on the cliff faces, you know, we go to the tops of the mountains, not the sides of them. So, it would just be a difficult sell for me. I don't see a place for it right now. I know of another WISP in my area. He's just up in arms about it. I said, yeah, go get you some of those Carlson radios. Go put up about 40 of those. See you later. So, no, I was being facetious. So,
yeah, some fiber, some guys doing some fiber to the home. And they're saying, you know, that's not really that expensive these days. They had a couple companies do some wireless redundancy. It was neat to see the different take on things. One company, they don't do OSPF, they run VLANs across everything. You know, they run VLANs to all their sites, and that's how they, you know, how they do stuff. And they had a, you know, fairly large network.
After my experience last night, I may take them up on that.
Did you have some OSPF issues?
What
happened? is it too raw to talk about?
Yeah.
It's too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
It's too soon. Yeah, still licking my wounds. At least it was early in the morning, like early. It was. I don't know what happened. It just started. It couldn't get its election straight. It just kept bouncing back and forth. So
okay.
And I don't know what was going on, but it was causing. I was getting like bad injections, and it was causing the entire database to become corrupt and drop about 70 to 80% of the routes out of the table. So, and our routing table right now it's about 800 routes. So,
dang, dude, you have a huge routing table.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might like to do some areas, some route summarization, homie.
Yeah, probably a good idea. So maybe that's the problem. But no, it's most of it's our public address space, so I'll have I guess removing some of that out of the backbone area would, but I've got about 6 areas set up, but on our backbone, but it just started giving me some headaches last night for no apparent reason. So
just because it could.
Yeah, it was just that time. I finally got it fixed by. You know, I'm a firm believer, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And what happens when you try that approach wholeheartedly, especially on your firmware, on your routers, is you get a lot of fragmentation because you just put in production what's on it when you get it. And then it just keeps working. And so, you know, I got everything on the same keel now, and so we're good.
I've definitely seen, I know exactly what you're talking about, multiple versions, especially of MikroTik. Either with OSPF or like wireless links, if they're on different versions, things just don't always seem to work right for whatever reason. Make a tweak, make an adjustment in the new version to fix a little bug, and
yeah, like I when I did the upgrade, all of my passives, like on all the PPPoE interfaces, I was exposing. All of a sudden, it decided to remove my all static. For the interfaces, and you know I do all and then passive so that all the PPPoEs are not exposed, so it just forgot about that. It just completely just took it out of every router. So 3 o'clock this morning, wow. I'm putting it back, you know.
I got a call about 8 this morning after my festivities last night. My web server and my mail server had was sitting there constantly rebooting.
No good.
Yeah, I had to spend about a half hour or so running FSCK before it finally Ooh. Boot. So it's
I love
I think it's
coming
on its
to work
way
and
out.
Getting fussed.
So. Yeah. I usually call it a 4-letter word. Yeah. I inject another letter in there.
Yeah.
So that was my early morning.
You got to send all that send it all into the cloud, Justin. Into the cloud.
Well, the cloud didn't. Did you guys notice Ubiquiti's forums?
Yeah,
were
I was
down
gonna say
Monday.
That, yeah, I was about to bring that up.
That was all due to the cloud.
Cloud. You got to look up when you say the cloud. The cloud.
Ah, the cloud.
There somewhere. I hate that.
It's so fun just to use that word, you know, around people, and they're like, "Ooh, the cloud." You know, it's just like this mesmerizing thing. And then to you, a cloud is that polished servers that everything's running on, and you're like,
yeah,
man, I really hope that power supply is still running, because it's one of them's dead, you know. You're, as the admin, you're like, yeah, I got a, that new power supply's on the way. I hope hope the other one holds in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cloud failed us twice this week so far. You know, the forums were down for hours on end. Then the Wispapalooza, they use this little app called Groupio. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you guys can see this very well. It's just a little app. It tells you, you can't see it very well. It tells you, you know, the schedule, speakers, you know, all kinds of things about the conference.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was hosted, I don't know if it was on Amazon or wherever it was, but it failed too.
Wow.
So, you know, two real-world examples of how the cloud failed.
And it's like that one commercial IBM runs. Do you really want to trust a bookstore with your cloud? So.
Hilarious. So.
Yeah, that's that's their little.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you want to run your own cloud, I can't imagine any WISP doing it, because I know you guys can't afford to put a SAN in there, and run vCenter and do replication. I know you guys aren't doing that mess.
Yeah, you know, multi terabyte SANs, you know, very high entry point.
You can. I was looking at those just the other day. You can get some, you know, some stuff that's been pulled out of service. It's not, you know, the bleeding edge, but you can still get, you know, 8 terabytes of storage for reasonable on Fibre Channel. Like, it's like $800 without drives, but still, that's reasonable.
Yeah, that's
that's pretty reasonable.
So,
all that stuff's a mystery inside, though. You got to make sure you can get a service contract on just in case it hoses.
Yeah. You know, virtualization, I heard a lot of guys talking about, you know, virtualization, so I think it's finally made it to the ISP world, and everybody's seeing that of it.
That's all we do when we do a server now. It gets ESXi or Xen on it. We do as I've heard Greg say, the poor man's cloud. So,
yeah.
We're not doing that.
That's all I use is ESXi as well.
So you just run like vSphere and then rock it that way?
There's what is it? It's the VMware Essentials for the guys that are ready to kind of upgrade a little bit. And VMware Essentials gives you vSphere, gives you vCenter, and you can support up to 3 physical hosts. So
can you do replication across the hosts?
You can. It'll support the 3 hosts. You can do the replication, all the fast switching. So, I mean, you get all the cool stuff, but it's just relocated to 3 hosts. So it's really shooting for that small business.
Right. How long have they had that product? Because when we looked at it for a project, they didn't have that.
I think they've had it since ESXi 4.
Okay.
I think. So now that they're into 5. And they used to have ESX and ESXi, and now it's just ESXi. That's all there is.
Right.
It used to be ESX had like a Linux kernel that it booted up, and you could do like management from that, but that's gone.
Gotcha.
On now.
Yeah, ESX 3.5 was the last 32-bit, because we've got some older hardware running it. Mm.
Now, Mike Hammett was telling me today that VMware has their service provider edition, where it's licensed per... it's licensed by the RAM that you use or something like that.
Oh, yeah, the allocated RAM. I was looking at that.
And he said that's a, you know, very cost-effective way to get, you know, some of the higher-end features that you can that you want.
Xen, I was looking at Xen, if, you know, if they had a little bit better front end, you know, for Xen, it would be, you know, the solution for me. So.
Uh-huh.
I was playing with another one called Proxmox. It was pretty slick. So I've tried about 4 different virtualization platforms, and ESXi is probably the easiest just to pick up and run with that I've played with.
Okay.
It's solid.
Yeah. I mean, we've had 0 problems with it. The The only thing that makes me nervous about virtualization is if you don't, you know, harden the management address, you know, some of the terrifying things that could happen to you. So.
For sure.
That's kind of in a nutshell. I'm sure I'll think of more things to put on the site or something. Tomorrow's the last day, so the vendors were gone, you know, today, so it's just going to be the geeks hanging around tomorrow.
Right. When are you heading home?
We head home Saturday.
Very
slightly
cool.
Saturday, so we'll get home, I think, late Saturday, but we're probably going to head up to Chicago as soon as we get home. Spend Sunday up there, and I have a client up there we're probably going to meet with, and so it'll be a long week.
Very nice. Very nice. Sounds like it was a great event, and I hate that I missed it this year, but glad I got
next
filled
year.
In.
Next year, it's at the Rio.
The Rio.
They've already planned 2013 for the Rio. And then they also said they're having a
why
spring
are they hung
show.
Up on Vegas?
What's that?
I said, why are they hung up on Vegas?
I don't know. I guess Vegas is the anchor for their fall show. They're going to move around the spring show.
I gotcha.
I guess the spring show is going to be in Danville, Kentucky.
I can drive to that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too far for you, JJ.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's not very far at all. So,
but yeah, we're enjoying.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we're enjoying Vegas. We ate at a Brazilian steakhouse last night, Texas to Brazil. If no one out there has never eaten at a Brazilian steakhouse, you've got to go.
Is that the one where they just have, like, huge carts of meat and they walk by
yeah.
and shave it off?
Yeah, shave it off for you, and you don't leave there hungry.
Nice.
All right, man. So let's put a bow on this thing. JJ, what have you been doing kind of this week? Anything interesting? Anything
just coming up? A lot of deployments, a lot of new installs, just busy as ever. I've been playing with I've actually been tinkering with the idea of making a little USB gadget for cell phones, because now, you know, I've been buying these BeagleBones, right? And and so I'm going to mention it every time until it gets old, you know?
Well, yeah.
So I've been using those, and, you know, I was getting them for like $69 a piece. And then I got to thinking to myself, you know, you can get an old cell phone that's got a transceiver, a capacitive touchscreen, and a plenty fast enough processor to do anything you'd want to do as far as microcontrolling goes. And if you're not trying to do real-time applications and you're just doing data collection or something like that, just, you know, throw a SIM card in the cell phone and put it in an enclosure and write an Android app, or heck, even put, you know, like Debian on the phone and then have like a GPIO USB gadget. So that was today's idea. So
that sounds like a neat idea, really.
Yeah, you could just monitor voltages and stuff, and because I was going down the route of taking the BeagleBone and then getting a USB 3G or 4G card to plug in it, and then get that going. So I was looking at their cost, and then I started looking, you know, on eBay and stuff at used smartphones, and you can get, you know, last year's phone for like $70. So
true.
It was just making a lot of sense to me today.
So. That's cool if you want to make a commercial product, as long as nobody opens it up and sees an old busted screen iPhone in there.
Yeah, could you imagine getting on eBay? I need 400 Samsung Galaxy S3s.
Yeah.
And go.
Broken screen, please.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Seal the case shut on those products. You'd be good.
Yeah, just hot glue, you know, just...
That way nobody can open up and see you just got a celly in there.
Another buzzword I heard out of the Ubiquity show was sonic welding. So we'll just sonically weld everything closed.
Sonic welding,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
We got a little hedgehog and a bunch of hedgehogs in the sweatshop.
Yeah, they got Sonic welding.
Yeah, Sonic welding. So let's see.
What did you hear, Greg, from the Australian mom? Were there any big announcements there? I kind of, you know, I didn't get much chance to hear anything.
I talked to Andrew a little bit. Andrew Cox. I haven't talked to Andrew Thrift yet. I was hoping they would be able to kind of put something together really quick. I think Andrew Cox like jumped into some training like right after the mom, so they haven't really had a chance to do anything yet. But I didn't hear any new product announcements. They probably got some more details on like the CCR and maybe a couple other things. But I know the Australian mom's a lot smaller. It was only like one day presentations and everything. So nothing really new, I think, was announced.
Gotcha.
But those guys are actually really good at weeding out some extra information, so they probably got a little bit more out of those guys. I know I was trying to watch both of their presentations, but the TikTok feed was just so bad. It was really unwatchable.
That's too bad.
So it sounded really good because I know Thrift was doing his over some security stuff, and so he was talking about even some IPS IDS sort of stuff like Suricata. Which is a new multi, well, I say new, it's a multi-threaded IDS. One of their claims to fame is with the Tileras stuff, they've actually done some demos showing Suricata running on Tileras at just ridiculous speeds. So Thrift is kind of speculating that Microtik, you know, since the Microtik boots basically a hypervisor and then runs the Microtik OS in a VM, that they could just boot another VM running Suricata, you know, and then you could feed it right into that IPS. That would be bananas, man. I would be all for that.
That would be cool.
Just to have something packaged, especially if they threw a nice GUI on all that mess, and just, man, that would be magically delicious. And then Andrew Cox actually did his presentation over scripting, kind of an introduction to scripting, because there's a lot of reluctance from people I've noticed about jumping into the scripting just because it seems a little weird. So I think he was giving you a lot of quick tips and pointers, and I'm sure there were some bad puns, terrible puns. I had to be there. Hey, man. He said he only had a couple of jokes in there, though, which I kind of am hesitant to believe.
It was probably just pun after pun.
I think so. So what did one of his friends said, prepare yourself for the pun-pocalypse. This was brilliant. I wish I had come up with it. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the TikTok version of those. And I know I saw Mike from Duxtel was talking a little bit about Hotspot, and met him at the Vegas mom. Super nice guy. So that would probably be a relatively interesting one as well. But as far as the Australian mom, that's all I've got now. Hopefully we'll get those guys to throw something together and get it up for everybody.
Is Mike on tour with the Microtik guys?
The Duxtel guy?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think he's just desperate for a vacation.
Gotcha.
To end it to win it, man. So let's see. Moving right along. What have I done this week? Who knows? I did a post on the Microtik hairpin thing, and I've gotten more off of that than I have anything else in ages, probably because it's the first real article I've actually done in forever, as opposed to just posting random junk. And I've got another one that I'm due on BFD, which is somebody asked me about that, and they're like, why don't you do one on that? I was like, because I don't ever use it, I guess. So I thought, hey, I'll go ahead and do one on it just for fun. So that one will probably be maybe interesting. I don't know. I know, we'll see.
I saw 6.0 RC2 was released with nothing that excited me.
Just the FastPath stuff. And the FastPath, I honestly don't know anybody that's going to take advantage of it, because one of the prerequisites is you have to have connection tracking off. And if you want to do any firewall rules, you have to have connection tracking on. So you can't use firewall rules to protect your router and have FastPath. So,
gotcha. To do what I do best and to derail this. Going back to my experience last night, if you're running SNMP on your Microtix and you've got, you know, and it keeps saying management is using like 70% of your CPU, disable SNMP and it'll go away.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, but if you notice, if you go to the profiler and you see that the CPU is cranking out on management, so I started researching, well, what is this mystical management? Come to find out, there's something wrong with SNMP, or maybe it's just a limitation of it. I don't know, but it's broken. So.
That's cool.
I got a thing that maybe you've heard this, JJ. I talked to several people who were doing the StreakWave Ubiquiti training out here. Uh-huh. And in the official Ubiquiti documentation, they are saying that if you are supposed to run on your backhauls or, you know, any of your AirMac stuff, WPA2 AES is better performing than even no encryption.
Than even no encryption. How could that
be? That's in there. That's what I'm thinking. They're saying that in their official training documentation. That you get better performance if you're running WPA2 AES.
They must be doing some kind of hardware
acceleration,
compression, or something.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll have to put that to the test. I've got a link that I'm running OSPF on it's a dual link. Going to the same place, same radio, same antennas. There's just two on each side. So I'll try it on that.
Yeah. One other thing that I'm working on is I'm going to start a BeagleBone project in JJ's honor. So I'm going to actually try and produce a product. So we'll see how long it takes.
So much fun. I wish that I would that we did stuff that was it's so difficult to make things look nice after you build them. You know, you put them in a box and you take a picture of the box, but it's like, yeah, here's the box. It's difficult to make that stuff real clean. Yeah,
I've started reading up on industrial design. On kind of their processes, so I'm gonna put it to the test and see if I can come up with something that looks good too.
Very cool.
Functions well.
Very cool. I'll be excited to see what you come up with.
Aha! All right, Justin. So we all know what you've been doing.
We know what I've been doing.
What do you got? What do you got coming up in the next week?
I'm hoping I met a lot of new clients out here. I talked to a lot of people, so. I might get real busy when I get home, which is fine with me. You know, a lot of networks still out there that, you know, the network's grown to the point that they're, you know, the original design is kind of their hindrance. So, you know, it's, you know, I talked to several guys. I'm like, hey, when you're thinking about stuff, think about, you know, what happens if you have 50 customers, 500 customers, 5,000 customers. And I think the, you know, some of these designs out there are not taking that sort of thing into account. So I might be working on some networks that are in need of some help.
Cool, man.
Pretty cool.
All right, guys, any closing words? Nothing. You guys are done.
Stick a fork in me. Indeed, sir.
All right, man.
I'm hungry.
All right. So, as always, thank you guys for watching. Oh, yeah, by the way, buddy of mine, Brian, got me this.
Yeah, I love it.
I love that.
I told him I'd wear it on the next cast. So, we love your questions, love your comments, love your feedback. Definitely keep walking up and telling Justin how awesome he is at the shows. And I guess, you know, join us on Facebook, subscribe to us, and we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.